This is Esther Stewart speaking, Mrs. Glenn Stewart. And I'm living now at Parkview Hills in Kalamazoo, clear across town from Parchment. I think Glenn and I moved to Parchment in August of 1933 or thereabouts, and lived in the house on the corner of Glendale and Maple. It was 132 or 4, I guess, maybe, something like that. We lived there a couple of years and then built a home on Park Avenue. I remember Mr. Kindleberger coming around, as he so often did in the evenings, with his dog and his stick for a walk, and stopping by our yard where we were out and saying, "Now I think you people should be planning to build out here and become part of the real part of the community." So things went on from there, and we built a home on Park Avenue at 225. And Mr. Kindleberger and his dog and walking stick were coming by there years later, and we thoroughly enjoyed watching for him and having a little chat with him so many evenings. Our children, David and Nancy, were in school there all through their grade and high school years. Glenn was advertising manager over at KVP and wrote The Philosopher after Mr. Brownell's death. He had written it formerly, and then Glenn wrote it for a great many years. Greatly enjoyed it and thoroughly enjoyed his various contacts that had brought him. Well, I was just thinking about the community activities. There were so many things for the children to do. They had parties for them over at the community house. All through their school years, I remember them going to parties at the community house almost every Friday or Saturday night. I think it was Friday. They'd have parties over there, and they just had the best time, and they were safe and all right, and it was, everyone could go. And they used to have special events that all the family went to. I remember helping with a mother and daughter banquet, a number of them, and fixing May baskets for all the tables. We all remember that, I expect. And I was head of a circle out there at one time, although I was a Presbyterian in the church downtown rather than out at Parchment. But we never made a big deal out of things like that, and everyone just helped in the community in every respect. So that I had a circle of the ladies there at the church, and we all worked in community affairs with that. I can remember working down in that great big kitchen with none of us knowing too well just what we were supposed to do, but coming out with huge dinners nevertheless. Emily Southern used to be the mainstay on those. Goodness, she could pitch in and do any of it that we couldn't. I remember one night at some particular festivity, it was in the gym, and all of a sudden we looked up, and here was Bert Dikema, who was one of the artists over at the company, walking along one of the ceiling beams, you know, that had the open beam ceiling. And here he was balancing himself and walking clear across on it. Everybody just held their breath, but he seemed to be having a wonderful time. When he got down, it was found out later that he'd been not just circus work, but, you know, had done a lot of that sort of thing, but we all just thought he'd never make it. But it was fun. And they used to have bazaars, things that we all worked on. And there was garden club that I was always active in and enjoyed ever so much. We never did much in the way of money raising for that organization. Did have a strawberry festival one time or two. And then the garden club got quite active, really. There must have been a dozen to 16 of us. There are 18 now, and the club is over 25 years old. In fact, I guess it's about 30 by this year. I guess I forgot to say when I started that it's 1976 and that I'm now 70 years old. All my busy years out at Parchment are over. But I love thinking about every one of them. Anyway, with Garden Club, the group's been quite active, and over the years had put the plantings in down at the what we call the point, down just on the Parchment side of the underpass. They were put in plantings were put in the first place on that, and several hundred dollars worth were just washed out. The soil wasn't right to hold them. And so we raised some more money and redid that, and have kept working on it over the years, and finally won a very nice award for our efforts. And I think the appreciation of a lot of the community, too. Then there was Bridge Club. There were four tables of us for a long time. And we'd meet around at some of the nice places to eat in and around near Parchment, sometimes going a little farther afield than that. But we'd meet once a month and did that for, 25 or 30 years, I expect. That was lots of fun, and we made such good friendships. And speaking of the park, I was just thinking of another thing that the Garden Club had done over there at one time, a number of years back, so that I don't know whether they're still visible, but we put the proper names on plates and attached them to some of the various trees that Mr. Kindleberger had planted there that were unusual and different. He at times, when he was on trips, would bring home things like that and have them planted in the park. And we labeled them because they were so unusual that people might not know what they were. I remember the rose gardens in the park over the years. When we first moved over to Park Avenue, the park was mainly a rabbit preserve. It was just weeds and nothing else. Then it was established for a park and built up, and finally the tennis courts were put in. One winter day, before they had a wire fence around them, all the little kids on the block, mine included, went over there. It was rainy and slushy and freezing, and they all went over on their tricycles and got in the middle of the tennis courts in water about 6 inches more deep, so that none of the mothers could touch them, and they got out in the middle and rode round and around and around just joyously. That was quite a day. They all remember that. But the tennis courts were built later, of course, and surrounded and kept in great shape. There were some lovely entertainments in the park, band concerts. One night, we all were given package of matches, and as it got dark, we each one lit a match, and there were hundreds in the gathering, and it was so pretty. I remember that one. It was when Mr. McDowell was head of the singing and so forth. He was always good at that sort of thing. I switched off from the rose gardens. There were some at the top of Park Avenue, a nice outlay of them, but finally that was changed, and they were put down in the sunken garden at the west end of the park, and were very lovely there. And the rock gardens that surrounded the sunken garden were beautifully kept. The people who worked over there did so mainly to take care of the people who were unemployed in our community. They just worked in the park, and it was beautifully fixed.
Remember what year that might have been?
No, but it was right soon after the Depression, because it took care of all the... That would be around 1930, wouldn't it? Probably.
Well, the Depression ended in 32, I think.
Yes, I think it started then. And that's when the home works started, right around and then too, and there too. The home works and the home baking. That was for the young people who couldn't get jobs because men were needing the jobs. So Mr. Kindleberger worked up the plan, he and others, of having the young people taught to work in the park and do the various jobs there, and for the girls in the home baking, to bake cookies and things and take orders from those of us in the community. Mrs. Roethlisberger, I think, headed that up. But the home works really panned out very well, and the boys were taught really how to handle the jobs that they were doing. They were kept busy through the summer when they couldn't otherwise have been. And it drew national interest. Glenn wrote it up quite a bit, and Mr. Kindleberger sent it out. It was written up, of course, in The Philosopher, which had a wide readership at the time. And I believe that It was Carl Detzer, who was a nationally known writer, came to Parchment to talk with Glenn and wrote that up for a national magazine, so that we really had quite a bit of publicity on it, and it was worthwhile. The children must have started to school in 34 and 35 or thereabouts. I'm pretty sure that was it. At what is now the intermediate school on Riverview Drive, that was the only school we had at the time in Parchment. And they started in with Elaine Cuny. I don't know her.
Bellingham.
Elaine Bellingham Cuny. And oh, how they did love her. She was a wonderful teacher. Then they had Mildred Manoni, who was another great favorite. She always spoke in a very soft voice. She said, "Now I have a very soft voice, and unless you're quiet, you'll not be able to hear me." And she had one of the quietest rooms in school, as I understand. And they had Miss Coster, who was another great favorite. And in high school, they had Mrs. Appleyard, Miss Appleyard, that was one of their favorites. Ken Roos, I think, was principal then, and except for the first year or two when Mr. King was still superintendent, George McDonald was the superintendent of schools and also taught. And my children, when they went on to college, felt that they were better prepared than the average youngsters who came to college, and we felt very proud of our Parchment schools.
Teachers.
I was just thinking some more of the teachers. Now, there was Catherine McGuire, who taught art right along through the schools, and the children really got a lot of from her. And there was Vivian Sinclair, that taught music and gave the kids just an awful lot. She was a little strict with them, and they sometimes muttered about that, but she really made a wonderful contribution to the community with her musical ability and teaching. They had Lois Martin in school, and I think Miss Dannard. And really, those are the ones I think of at the moment. Well, now about the stores that were out there when we first went there in around 1933. There was a drugstore over on Riverview and Glendale. No?
Riverview and Parchmount.
On Parchmount, you're right. Riverview and Parchmount, that had quite a good supply of things. I can't remember the name of the man that was running it when we first got there.
Losey?
Yeah. Mr. Losey. But shortly, and they lived upstairs in the apartments over the drugstore. And then came Mr. Schreiner, and after that Mr. Clark, that I recall. And it's since changed hands a number of times, and still is a nice store out there. And then there was Joe Green's grocery store. It was always an event to go in and shop from Joe. He was a good-natured soul and just fun to meet up with. And then there was Ralston and Phillips Butcher Shop.
And grocery.
And grocery, yes, they had some groceries too. But it was always fun to go in there and get your meat cut just what you wanted and only the amount you wanted and everything. I liked that. There was a sort of a general store, mostly dry goods, and cleaning shop that a Mr. Romano ran. He was Italian, and he and his family came to Parchment after we were there for some time, and he was a good storekeeper and had a nice business there, and people liked him. They stayed a lot of years, and then I think the whole family moved from town. And there was the gas station across from the drugstore that Mr. Foster ran at the time. And really, that was about all the stores we had then. But they sufficed for what we really needed, the majority of, you know, the day-to-day living things. And most of us went on downtown for other things. And mostly we'd drive our cars. The bus service wasn't very good in the early days. They didn't run very often at all, so that we mostly drove downtown and back for that. Then I was thinking, too, before I stop, about something that I particularly enjoyed over the years were some perfectly beautiful, huge boulders that were put on the corners where the streets intersected, just at, where the sidewalks left a little square right there between that and the curb. Beautiful, great big boulders that had been uncovered in the various building that went on in Parchment. And there were four, one on each of the four points of the corners. Finally, I guess, here not too many years ago, well, it's probably more than I stopped to think, they decided that they were dangerous and took them away. I do remember one boy riding into one with his sled one time and did hurt himself, but I think the sled went out of control and it wasn't that the rock was so dangerous. But another thing beside the rocks that I remember looking forward to was the apricot tree that was in the yard across the street from the drugstore. It was always the first thing in bloom every spring, and I just waited for that to come along. It was fun. One of the things that the circle used to do to raise money, we had various methods of raising money, but one was the witch basket. Every once in a while, somebody decided that it should I was just starting to tell about the witch basket, which was one of the ways that our circles raised money out at the church. Some one of the people in the circle would decide it was time for the witch basket to start. So she'd bake up something that was specially nice and put it in the basket, and she or one of her family would present it at the back door of another member of the circle. That member would take out whatever was in there and put into a little box the amount of money that she felt that was worth. Then when she baked something, she would send it on likewise to someone else's back door. And it circulated around the community until there seemed to be enough in the little box, and then it would stop for a while, and we'd have quite a little sum there generally for our treasury. They were fun. There were so many things went on over at the community house. I mentioned the fact that the children were there a lot for parties and things, and of course church was held there. But a lot of our life, our community life in the first years at Parchment centered around that. And Mr. Kindleberger just kept an eye on things all the time to see that there were the advantages that that might make a small community a happy place to live, which that certainly was. But we'd have speakers come. There'd be a series of classes, most particularly for the men at the mill in certain fields. And there were minstrel shows given, all local talent, that were just excellent. Mr. McDowell was generally the one that trained those, and he did a very good job of it. Then there were choruses that would sing. We'd sing for the Christmas parties. Those were under Mr. McDowell and under Bob Sanders later on, and really did quite a nice job of things. And the Christmas parties were much looked forward to by all of us. Those were held in the community house, and everyone was there, just the whole community. And that is the men from the mill. I don't believe their families, there wasn't room for all of us in the community, but all the men.
And all the employees.
All the employees of the company. And then they had outstanding people of some sort always for the Christmas programs. I remember Homer Rodehever being there once or twice. He stayed at our house one of the times he was there, I remember. And there were outstanding ministers and just people of great talent there for us to hear. And then, of course, there was always a Christmas basket given us, and we looked forward to what it was going to be this year. Sometimes it was bacon and all sorts of packaged things that maybe the company had sent the paper for. Sometimes it was a turkey, but always that basket was a great treat at Christmas time.